Yeah, what's on your mind?
So, we're getting to the point now. Obviously, you didn't meet Seth last time we were on the phone together. So Seth Mallfair has joined the team, and he's going to help us do a lot of the real implementation of the Supernova moving business. When Phil left, Phil presented himself as a portfolio manager to most of his clients. And so he was running the portfolio using Dorsey Wright as his guidance, but he was doing the discretionary trading on his own, which is not what we're all about. And so we have a mountain of portfolios, a mountain of accounts that we have to begin to transition out of the type of PM portfolio management that Bill was running into managed PM run by other portfolio managers. So Seth is going to be a big part of getting us to do that, because a lot of times we have to make trades out of the Lydia platform to create the money we're going to move around to different PM. So that'll be a nice addition to allowing us to segment a little bit further and to reassign those accounts a little bit more efficiently. That's been a big stumbling block as we consume Phil's book of business, and as we look towards others, it's an efficiency that we had to put in place. So, we're real happy that Seth is he's just finishing up week one. This is the start of week two. So that's an important thing. One of the things, Lori, I do want you to participate in this one, because when we were talking this morning, sometimes getting rid of the accounts going to central review is an impossibility. Isn't that right, Lori?
Yes.
And
Yeah, there's
so.
plenty of rules. If they're, plan accounts, if they have debit balances, if they have this, if they have that we can't get rid of them.
That's an issue. So I'm not even sure how to do that. We maintain the liability for them, but we don't get paid for them, and there's nothing we can do to get rid of them. That's the trifecta of a bad account.
Right.
But
I mean, that's a management issue.
well, do you know a way around it? What is your what can we
Well,
do?
I mean, one of the things I did was set up a house account and moved all the accounts into that.
We've talked about that. Pritchard used to talk about that too, that it'd be nice if there was something within a branch the size of ours where those types of accounts could go. But as of right now, that doesn't exist. But that's okay. It's a small, aggravation, but nonetheless, it's one. Hello, Patty.
Hello, I just realized that my camera had a thing in front of it.
Oh. Anyway, so we were just talking about Seth and what he's going to help us do as far as moving PM from Phil to PM with other folks, and further segmenting and reassigning that to Sean, and then ultimately, when Craig joins. But we were also talking to Lori about those accounts that we just simply can't get rid of right now, that there's nothing we can do with them. We don't get paid. We can't get rid of them. They just are what they are. Patty, let's talk to Rob about what level of efficiency we're seeing in our own segmentation and where, if anything, we are still seeing obstacles. What are your thoughts?
Well, things are going to improve greatly when Seth is onboarded completely. Because, I mean, I can keep up with what I have as long as I don't have to spend half a day pushing buttons to try to accept something. I mean, that's not my gift, and it's an important job. So I think as he gets on board with that, we're going to be able to spend time client facing and do a better job, with client touches, and then just deliver the, bringing the clients on board and maintaining the accounts and having all of that done, and Seth will be able to take care of that.
I'll tell you where, Rob, where I'm running into an obstacle, just a reality check, and that is that I find that I can't have a 10-minute or a 15-minute client conversation. They tend to always get, fairly deep in the woods, or they start me on a project, particularly as I'm integrating Phil's book of business, where there's large accounts that haven't yet done the comprehensive financial planning. So, you know, the one I just finished Friday, I started in October. And I'm, you know, probably 6 hours on the phone with them and another 40 hours of financial planning work to get all that done. And so I don't know that I've been as efficient in the 12-4-2-1 because the 12s are taking me a really long time to get through as they become kind of, they're new clients to me, somewhat to Patty, but they're older clients to our team. And until I get into the queue where, you know, we know each other a little bit more, it's really slowing me down as far as how efficiently I can touch those clients directly. Now, we're doing a very, very good job with Johnny Keefe, our VEA, in doing NBAs and touch points that way. So we are, you know, hitting the bell, but I don't know that we're doing it as well as Patty and I should be doing it, given the number of million-dollar plus accounts we have, which, you know, it's almost $180 million worth of those accounts. And so, you know, we're working on that efficiency, but we certainly haven't gotten there yet. That's a bit of a stumbling block. But again, I think it's somewhat a matter of horsepower and having more of it. And Sean, are you on now? So Sean is, you know, he's been given more accounts from other teams because everybody likes to do that for him. And I'm hoping that he's taken away from our last calls those types of accounts to avoid, particularly as Patty and I segment down to them more of the $250,000 to $500,000 accounts that we can't really judiciously maintain, but that they certainly can and get paid upon. So, you know, I think we see a light at the end of the tunnel in pretty good clarity, but, you know, the implementation is always the issue. When we were last together, Rob, I talked to you about this other team that Tim had me listen to. Are you aware of any of those types of FAP, different new relationships, those new types of Morgan Stanley contracts that are floating out there?
Go into some more detail.
Well, as it stands right now, you know, when we look at an FAP, that FAP sunsets over 5 years, and the level of income they get over those 5 years is determined into the future by what his forfeited book of business creates. So right. It's an unknown amount. And what appears to be the new methodology is to negotiate a salary, both during the time that they are active FAs, but throughout the time they are retiring FAs. And that's a very different type of contractual relationship for the acquisition of retiring FAs, but also the way that the segmentation of the receiving FAs would be implemented and how efficiently you can do that. So if a retiring FA wants, you know, $160,000 a year for 5 years, when you've got a book of business of $85 million, you look at it with one set of conditions. If they've got a $185 million or an $85 million book of business and they get what they get at a 70%, 60, 50, 40 until they're out, well, that's different. And so I'm curious what if anything, you're hearing, because you see everything, if there's more of that type of thinking than there is the historic, which is, you know, fraught with all sorts of JPN, you know, difficulties. Are you seeing anything like that?
No, this is the first I've heard of it. So are they transitioning to that, or is it A or B, or what is the proposal?
Well, right now, it appears to be in pilot, but it's been in pilot for a while. And so they are negotiating with existing FAs who will stay as FAs for a salary position, and then when they actually leave the business, maintain a negotiated salary, and they can in some ways still be involved in the maintenance of their client relationships and the potential growth of their book of business moving forward for those 5 years of retirement. I only know of one group down in Alabama who's doing it, but they're big enough to have been doing it for a while, and the implication is that that's where we're going. And I'm only suggesting from a segmentation perspective, it puts more dimension on what it is the receiving team would need to do with an acquired book of business and how efficiently you can segment it and identify the revenue from it, and therefore what you could really manage as a salary for the outgoing FA. And I guess what I'm saying is it makes the segmentation more potent when you know exactly what you're going to be paying on the way out and what the residue would be to the maintaining FA team. And I wish there was a way we could accelerate that conversation internally, but there's not. So what we're doing now is just trying to implement it in a reasonable facsimile of what they're trying to do. But, you know, part of the difficulty, speaking candidly, is that, you know, an FA doesn't want to retire if he goes from an income of X to an income of, you know, 20% of X. He wants to stay as long as possible. And this new structure allows them to basically decide how much aggravation and how much work they want to continue to do to stay in the seat and how much they don't. And it's a pretty liberating thing for the FA, both while he's here and when he leaves, but it's also a very empowering thing for the receiving FA team because they know exactly what they're into money-wise and what that book of business could be generating if segmented and supernovaed, my new verb, supernovaed right. properly.
Okay, so you're saying that if you give him a flat salary for 5 years, the upside that you generate by doubling his business belongs to you.
Well,
The acquiring FA. So there's an incentive to grow the business is what you're saying.
There's an incentive to grow the business, but using a real metric, if there's an advisor who's got, let's say, 70 million of assets and he's doing 200,000 of production and he's getting paid 40 grand and you paid him a salary of 75,000, but took over his $77 million book of business, could a team that is really good at Supernova expand that from $200,000 worth of production to $600,000 worth of production against which they'd have an expense of $75,000 a year? That's a pretty interesting upside for the exiting guy and for the receiving team.
Yeah. The firm's getting smart.
Well, it's a little slow. It's a couple of years away. But so if you've not heard about it someplace else, then it must not exist someplace else.
No, I haven't heard it. This is the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if the FA could have a choice, right? I'll take A or B. But, you know, if they want to work the book with you and convert it, then they got a big, you know, cut a big couple of 5 years. If they really want to step away, then it's a nice salary and they don't need to worry and goodbye. Guys do what you want.
Yeah. And you know what I think I've said to you before, and that is that as this industry moves forward, it seems to me that the sole practitioner is going to have an uphill battle in staying relevant to the team metrics or rather to the firm metrics. And being an independent guy is a very difficult way to do that. And at some point when you're ready to begin thinking about retirement, the amount of additional work that is required of you to maintain your business is daunting. And so I guess what I'm hoping we do internally and that we get very good at is replicating the type of program the firm is only in pilot, but replicating it now in whatever restrictions we have, but getting ready to do it. Because I think that's exactly where the puck is going, and we'd like to be one of the first teams, you know, there when it does transition.
No, you're good. I mean, you've got it figured out. I think. I mean, I don't think you're exaggerating in the sense that it would be a big benefit to you.
And I think from a Supernova perspective, it only makes this whole segmentation and the real implementation all that much more powerful, because as you take on, you know, a book of business of a completely unknown people and clients, there has to be some method by which you cut the wheat from the chaff and decide where the money is earned. And the Pareto principle, I'm sure, exists in 90% of the books of business.
Right.
And, you know, having a defined salary is a pretty interesting way to dimensionalize your financial liability as the receiving team or the maintaining team. And, you know, that's...
No, that's interesting. The last time we talked, we talked about kind of getting that pipeline tool out and refreshing it and kind of putting everybody down on that. It just seems that, Duane, that seems to be in line with your the way you look at things very practically.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that, that we talk about is there are the metrics that matter to us and Supernova and how to implement that. And then there are clearly those metrics that matter to the firm. And they're not always the same list. And so every month we get a what's called an FA one pager sent to us that gives us the metrics that the folks like Tim Burns look at and measure the efficiency by which we are meeting the firm's objectives. And that introduces a whole other form of requirement on a team that is maybe complementary to Supernova, but it's not necessarily accretive to it because it takes time to recognize what they want done. The number of financial plans have to be updated. The number of, you know, the management and maintenance and reporting of net new assets in and out, all those types of things we do, but they have to be reported separate from our internal control. So I think that from a pipeline perspective, what we're trying to implement on our team calls on Monday is the advisors hang on the phone and then we go through our pipeline and identify both the client, the opportunity and the revenue production from it. And then do that on a weekly basis so that we always maintain that. It allows us to do a couple of things. It allows us to recognize which of the lower end segmented businesses we don't have to, you know, or we can push to a Sean or push to my son when he gets on board in another 4 or 5 weeks. But you know, the bottom line is, Rob, that what you've taught us is exceptionally powerful and implementing it is a process. Implementing is a process that, listen, I think last time you were very clear to say there are those teams who talk about it and there are those teams who do it. And if you're not going to do it, then stop wasting my time talking about it. Yeah. And, you know, we're at that point where I fully understand that and we're getting really a fair amount of real traction and then trying to make us more of a process-driven team that can expand our band or that because of our bandwidth can expand the book of our business and the size of the business by bringing on new teams. And so, you know, that's what I've been saying for probably 5 or 6 months, but that's really what we're headed towards. You agree, Patty?
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the segmenting for these things that Sean's receiving possibly as leads, he was talking about how Lori had taught us, and I guess we're going to need a refresher, on how to quickly identify the ones that we can quickly send to the call center. Because if he wants to try and reach out to some people and see if there's anything there, as long as he can send them to the call center immediately, that's fine. And I'd like to learn how to identify those too so that as I continue to segment, I can send things.
But Patty, I think that from our perspective, meaning you and me, it's not efficient use of our time to prospect at that level when there's so many above a million.
I'm sending things, and I'd like to identify what's sendable. Yeah. So anyway,
these are good problems, by the way.
On Monday to show us again.
Yeah.
Lori.
So I think, Rob, we're at the point where we're really, you know, like I just said, having good problems and at least understanding what the rules of the road are via the Supernova process. I mean, we really have come that far.
So back to the pipeline tool. One of the, remember, we were talking about identifying where we are in terms of suspects, prospects, customers, clients, advocates, ambassadors.
Yeah.
That was one of the exercises I wanted you to go through, just for your sake and say, you know, who do we have on here? How many of our clients are really ambassadors, advocates? You know, who's?
It's a very solid point you make. My wife and I were talking about this. Patty, why don't you explain to Rob your conversation with me about Michelle Giafrinvinci and the judge and the lack of time you've had to spend with these people who are true advocates?
Yeah, so I have a little cluster of people that all came from the same source, but all of them are referring me constantly, and all I need to do is spend time with them in person. And now that people are feeling better, I can do it. The problem is I can't stop pushing buttons, but Seth and I were talking about that. So it's really, everything's coming along. As soon as I can turn some of these activities over to Seth, which is weeks away, I'll be able to go and spend time with these people. And it looks like I'm doing nothing. It looks like I'm sitting on people's porches. But that's where it happens, you know, when you're sitting there talking with them. And they all live really close by each other. They were all referred by this attorney that I talk to all the time. And yet they themselves are referring me. There's two women from a college. So now that whole college is open to me. You know, I just feel like there's so much business to be had. And I just need to have the time to spend. And, for example, I was trying to do all the button pushing and make all the calls. And I felt like I was giving people the bum's rush, because I had to get to the next one. So I was like, hey, how you doing? What's happening? Oh, okay, bye-bye, you know. So it wasn't right. It has to be more relaxed, more.
It does. But to your point, Rob, you know, we segmented by revenue. We segment by assets. But if we segment the big revenue producers by who's a referral source, who's a center of influence, who's a real advocate, the list gets smaller. But the advocacy, this group that Patty's talking about, I would dare say the central judge has referred probably $10 million worth of business to Patty over the last couple of years.
Much more than that.
So that everybody is a $2 million new household, allowing us to eliminate a bunch of smaller things or find a new FAA to push those relationships to. But to further segment from just size of household to pipeline advocates, referrals, and centers of influence, that we're getting there from your conversation last month. It's obviously a much smaller list, but a much more potent list, that's for sure.
So, Patty, how many clients are you trying to serve now? How many clients, how many butlers total?
Yeah, it's not that together yet, because we've been waiting. Right now, Dwayne made a list. How many people are on that list, Dwayne? But then as people call in that haven't been really effectively assigned yet and they need something, and I take care of those people. You know, so it's, how many people are on my list? I think, do you have that, Dwayne?
I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, it's 100.
I'll tell you, because you hit the nail on the head, Rob. We know the numbers. Patty has 200 households right now that she's responsible for, that have been segmented, but that she's still maintaining as herself being the primary contact. And of those, she has 56 households representing $120 million. So 25% is representing more than 160, almost 80%. There you go.
Well, you were assigning me things, Dwayne, that were over $1 million. How many of those were there?
56.
So what was the 200?
That's the total that you wanted to maintain as either butler relationships or you were the primary contact.
Got it.
And so Rob hit the nail exactly on the head. If you only concentrated on 56, your day is full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. And so, but things are coming along that lets me start to move those things. So
there are.
I think we're going to be in a much better position in 3 months.
Actually, Rob, you know, my wife and I had another conversation that was kind of interesting. And she said, do you push as many buttons as I do? Do you feel, you know, strapped to your machine like I do? And I really don't. Maybe I just, you know, I've only been in this 10 years. She's been in it 30. So maybe she has more, you know, legacy baggage than I do. But we have a very different approach to the same implementation of financial advising and consulting and planning. And
so Dwayne, how many clients do you have total, and how many are over $1 million?
At this moment, for me, over $1 million, I have 29.
Okay. And how many total?
My total assigned to me internally is 123.
So, you know, there was a kind of a, you know how in every relationship you have some things that you don't communicate as well on? And Phil and I had one big one that I realize now, you know, and that was that he really took pride in his portfolio management, you know, that he was creating these models, and it was important to him. And, you know, I didn't want to do that. I told him I didn't want to do that, and I like to use the ones I don't have to touch, because I really feel like people do not understand. They either trust you or they don't. It's not like they're going to say, oh, you've got a special one? Oh, okay. But
right.
He felt that way, and I respect that. So, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to place it with things that are, you know, the firm discretionary, because I felt like you get more for the money as the client, and then I don't have to touch it as much, and there's less chance that I can screw it up, or anybody can screw it up, because now the firm's running it. And the mistake Phil and I made was that I didn't insist hard enough that we convert this stuff. I mean, he converted his stuff at the end there, but and we were starting to do little by little, but we didn't do it hard enough. I didn't insist enough, and he didn't insist enough that I sit with him and do, I mean, I can figure out this model thing, and I, you know, he's my friend, and I can talk to him, you know. But I'm trying, one of the things that we're trying to do that's time intensive and temporary is we're trying to convert all of these portfolio manager accounts to firm discretionary.
And that's a process. How long will that take?
That's a good question. I think, again, this is going to be something I want to hand to Seth. As I talk to people and do a review, I'd like to hand it to Seth and say, Seth, I got permission to turn this portfolio manager account into. But right now I had Seth with me so he could see what it is that we're up against. And we spent an hour converting two accounts.
Here's the thing, Patty. Let me jump in, because, Rob, this is the crux of our problem right now. The crux of the problem is that we have segmented the business. We know by account what we're doing and where we're going. We haven't pulled the final trigger. And the final trigger is to say, Seth, or rather Sean Roth, these are the ones you're going to get. And to my son, who's waiting to pass his test, these are the ones you're going to get. And then we're finished with that. We have 84 accounts, Rob, about $20 million of assets above 250, below 500, that Patty isn't assigned and I'm not assigned. They're just there.
No, but those are the ones that call that I end up taking care of.
Right, because they know her. So
how many
she gets
of those?
84.
How many?
84.
84.
Right, and that's what I was showing you last time when I walked into the business plan. But if we could pull that trigger, then Sean can step in, Craig can step in, manage those businesses while Patty and I focus on the ones that the 80 that we have that are just the core of our businesses, and I think we're off to the races. We're that close, but
and
we do need
that, though, just not having to do that portfolio management business, which is pretty stinking time intensive. You know, Dwayne, like, says, you know, gee, let's do this thing over here. And I'll say, well, let's schedule whatever we want to schedule. Let's schedule it after 4, because I have to be button pushing during those hours. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be, you know, tied like that. So we are there. And you have to be so careful. It's a very important job, but it's a whole other job. Just like being a portfolio manager is another job. So it's like, we can't do all of that. I can't be the portfolio manager.
But you know, Patty, to Rob's question about how long it would take, Rob, Morgan Stanley 3 years ago hired a proprietary PM by the name of Rick Golod. And Rick Golod has a team that has, you know, 10 or 12 people on it. And if we contact that team and we say, here's one of Phil Siegel's portfolios that he was managing, we want you to do it. The only thing we have to do is change the JPN, and Rick Golod's team will come in, sell all of the positions, and reincept into their portfolio, at which point it's just a question of how fast we can move JPNs. It's the question of going to the firm discretionary and doing all those internal steps that's going to slow down the speed at which
more.
We can make that change.
There's also all of the taxable accounts need extra thought because
don't
want to set off
IRA's
a bunch of tax problems for people. So, yeah. I mean, there's a process, but it's happening. We're doing it. It's just these are the things that are in front of us that we're working on to get to where we need to be. And what's going to happen is they're going to start to click. I mean, we're going to pick up the pace when there's more of us doing this. You know, it's not like I was telling Seth, you know, if we threw all this stuff at him all on the first day, he would be waving the white flag. So, I mean, I expect to keep pushing some buttons for a while. But, I mean, I think he's going to get up to speed, and then we're going to be able to address getting things converted.
Don't you sense that once we turn that corner we're going to just take off because we'll be doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing?
Thank you for
witnessing the dysfunction of the 515 Hamilton Group at Morgan Stanley.
I don't know that that's a dysfunction. I think it's just like talking about like what we're working on.
You took on a big, you swallowed an elephant and it's going through the snake and it's going to take a while to adjust.
Right. Yeah.
So I understand. One of the things to do is to say, okay, we're now at the end, okay? We're at the end. Wherever the end is, right? Wherever the end is, we're there. Now, what does our practice look like? How many clients how many does Patty have? How many does Dwayne have? How many does Seth have? You know, how many
The way it's set up right now, once it's done, Patty will have 80, I will have 80, and each of Sean and Craig will each have 80.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And how long?
To get there?
Yep.
Speed at which we can move Phil's business, I'd say probably a month.
Oh my God. No, I think 6 to 8 months, really.
Oh, no way.
First
no
of all,
way.
It's going to take Craig 2 months to get licensed.
That's right.
Okay, well, whatever. That's fine. Somewhere between 1 month and 6 months.
That's almost the birth of a child. Apparently, we don't know the answer.
1 month, you say 6 months. It's probably 4 months.
There you go.
All right. So you give yourself 4 months, and you guys are checking in. Set the deadlines. At month one, month two, month three, month four, we're done. Just try and schedule that out. And what does that look like? So you don't blow it up. At the same time, you do it as fast as you can so you don't blow yourselves up. Because, Patty, you're doing two-a-days now. You're, you got to be going crazy. And so does Lori and everybody else. I know you're organized and I know you're doing great and I know you're making your supernova calls, but God bless you. You're in the middle of a storm. So you're in a lot better mood than I would be. You know, I know it's,
see the clearing over there, you know, so we just got to sail through here and we'll be all right.
As long as you can see that end of the tunnel, right? And it's not a light coming at you.
And I'm not sure that we could have 2 months ago or three for sure, but we can now. And, he makes a good point, Patty. If we took Phil's PM in JPN 170 and just ran a list as to who's an IRA and who we want to put over to GOLOD, we could probably take those 40 accounts and transfer them in a week's time, just changing JPNs. Mm-hmm. Then that's off our plate. So
we have to speak to each one of those people.
Okay.
And that takes time.
So you're going to go from this guy to this guy. Okay, thank you.
I'm just saying, no, exactly. But so anyway,
Right.
No, I'm with you. I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think what he said was correct. Yeah,
and one of the things to do, remember, your 1242s can be your opportunity to do all this stuff.
Yes, and actually that could be a natural way to do it, actually. You're right, because the whole idea, one of the things that that made me feel better about those calls is that every single call, you're not supposed to take an hour to prepare for it and do deep, deep thinking and then spend a lot of time with deep, deep things. You know, just a little bit every month. And then there's a review, you know, periodically where you put in a little more time.
And
then
if
you
that right,
fall creates a project, you could time that project for next month to complete that project. And
right.
Now you're doing the schedule. I mean, I get it. That's the idea.
I will say this, Rob. One of the things that I think is most powerful, 12421, is the one. When people call, if I catch it and I can call them in 10 minutes, they're blown away. Or if they email me on a Saturday and I get back to them on Saturday, solve the problem, send them what they want, they're blown away by that one-hour rapid response. That buys a tremendous wow factor.
Well, that's great to hear. I don't hear too many people, maybe they don't even try to do it, but I think it's a big selling point. If I'm a client, what am I most worried about? I'm most worried about what I don't know. And when I have a problem, that I'm most worried that I have somebody that's going to take care of it.
And so how many surveys have we seen over the years that clients don't leave because of performance, but they leave because you didn't call them back for 4 days or whatever. I get it. And, you know, between having Lori be able to solve some problems on the front line, Seth being able to say, is there anything I can be doing for you if Patty's jammed up? That just makes that response time all that more powerful.
No, I think, you know, you're there. So my guess is you just need more time. You know, just go for it. I'm amazed that you've been in as many calls as we've had, and you've always been in a good mood. You always look like you're moving forward. And you never seem frustrated. I think I'd be more frustrated.
It's exciting to have the team get bigger and more capable and complementary. You know, nobody's going to ever replace what Lori knows how to do, ever. It couldn't be done. And so to let her be that efficient while Seth does that and Patty and I do what we're doing and Sean and Craig do, it's a very, very complementary group of skills, I think.
Well, the faster you can get you two to 80 clients, the better. So however you do that, if you can take on some more, Dwayne, you know, of the bigger clients, that I don't see any reason that you wouldn't do that now.
And we are, the segmentation there is somewhat going in all candor by personality and in some cases kind of a gender bias. I mean, some people just like men over women. Some people like women over men. And so if we're running into that, I'll step into a bigger relationship. If you know, it was one Phil had that I should be taking over for whatever silly reasons
right.
there are.
But I mean, her at 56 and you at 29, if you were closer to 56 and she stayed at 56, maybe there aren't that many more over a million. Is that what you're saying is that's the total number is 80 over a million.
He's asking how many households are over a million?
For me or for you?
Total.
For both.
Oh, she has 29 households over a million. No, I have 29 over a million.
She has
I have two different screens, bear with me.
She has 56, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has 56. Yeah, 56.
Right. So how many, is that 80 is the total number of households then over a million?
Must be.
It is. And it represents 160 million, represents more than just about half of what we've got.
How much in terms of revenues?
Eight over one. About half. About half. You have to recognize that we do a very, very big business in annuities. So it's not all managed money.
Okay, so Dwayne, I would say if you can pull, my guess is that Patty has 200. Patty, you tell them where but if you could go Dwayne, if you could pick up another 20 households that are above, that are close to a million.
Okay. Yeah.
800,000 and above.
Right.
That would just take the pain away and give
Patty. No, that's right. I will, we will talk about that. That sounds wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get both up to 60 clients. I mean, you could take 30 more clients. You know, everybody 750,000 and above, get those in your number so that they're not just floating out there.
Yeah, and looking at Patty's list, she probably has another 20 that are exactly 800,000 to a million. 800,000 and 983 is another 20.
All right, so just say for the 1242 purposes, you can still talk to her whenever they want, but 1242, you take those and you do the 1242s on those.
Yeah, that's a fair allocation of resources and relationships.
And then Patty isn't buried by, you know, meaningful clients. I mean,
No, that's right.
Right?
Right.
Because you'd be doing that anyway, I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the difference is that right now I have the bandwidth to do it because I don't push the buttons Patty does, and she doesn't yet, but she will soon. But we could certainly meet up there at 60, 70 clients in another, 40 days or 50 days, whatever it's going to be.
Right, because you wouldn't be giving those clients to Sean and Seth anyway.
No.
So let's get all the ones that are not going to be with Sean and Seth and reallocate them to you two guys and get that part of it done. You can do that tomorrow.
No, that's a good set of marching orders.
Okay, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
That way, I mean, and just do it as a service, Don't say that you're going to, now you're going to be working with Dwayne. Don't say that. We're just allocating our resources in order to give you the best level of service we can. And, I'll be doing the 1242s for these.
And that's a good distinction because oftentimes if I call somebody back and I'm not the primary, they kind of recognize the fungibility of the service model. One day it's Patty, one day it's me. It's okay. It's the same.
Yes.
Same pair of pants, different pocket.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So let's do that. That should get some of the pain out of those 200 households that are a pain. But there's a pain and then there's the risk of losing them.
Right.
And I don't want to see the risk of losing them in your practice. So let's get those so that they get plenty of love and then the rest of them – we'll divvy those, give 50 to each of the young guys. Now we've really made a dent in that 200.
Yes.
See? Now that 200 is down to, it's down to 80.
Mm-hmm.
If we just squared
the business up nicely.
Right. Okay.
Agreed.
So that's hopefully by next month we'll have done that. Let's see if we can do that by next month.
All right, sir.
50
Thank you again
for the guys
for your time.
And 20 or 30 to you, 30 to you, I think could be enough. And then we'd actually be down to 70 if you took 30.
Yeah.
And then you'd both have about 60. Perfect.
All right.
Good. All right. Thanks, guys. Great talking with
you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're doing awesome.
See you next month.
Bye-bye.
Bye.